Hold on now. I don't want this pomade. I want Dapper Dan.
I don't care Dapper Dan. I care Fop.
Well, I don't want Fop, goddammit. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
Watch your language, young fella. This is a public market. Now, if you want Dapper Dan, I can order it for you. Have it in a couple of weeks.
Well, ain't this place a geographical oddity? 2 weeks from everywhere. Forget it. The dozen hairnets.
Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan, and thank you for joining me once again today. It is Thursday, and as this recording goes out today, I will be on a plane bound for Colorado to meet with the Ecclesia in Colorado, so pray for a successful weekend, and yes, the programs will be aired tomorrow as well, and one of the beauties of technology. But I want to talk to you today about a passage that is often misinterpreted. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 13, and I want to hopefully shed the truth on this passage. And Paul says this in verse 1, "Lo, this is the third time I am coming to you." 2 Corinthians 13, if I didn't tell you. "Lo, this is the third time I am coming to you. At the mouth of two witnesses and three shall every declaration be made to stand. I have declared before, and am predicting as when being present the second time, and now being absent, to those having sinned before, and to all the rest, that if I should be coming again, I shall not spare. Since you are seeking a test of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak for you, but powerful among you. For even if he was crucified out of weakness, nevertheless he is living by the power of God. For we also are weak together in him, with him, but we shall be living together with him by the power of God for you." And in verse 5 says, "Try yourselves if you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or are you not recognizing yourselves that Christ Jesus is in you, except you are somewhat disqualified?" Now, this is a passage that has been used, and I remember in one religious sect I was part of, they said every time you sit down and have the Lord's Supper, you have to test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. You always have to test and make sure you're a believer. The Christian religion today is set up to give you a maximum amount of doubt as to whether you're a believer or not. They always have you test. Well, maybe if you're committing sin, you're not a believer. Maybe you really weren't saved. You didn't have the right kind of faith. Or maybe you didn't repent just rightly. Or you didn't believe just correctly. And there's all kinds of inventions. See, men, religious people, are always preoccupied with sin and what man is not doing. Religion is always preoccupied with if you haven't lived up to something, it always has to do in the long run. In religion, it always has to do in the long run with what you are doing. But, you know, the evangel is something we can be sure of. And it's considered arrogance. And a group I was part of used to call us antinomians. You're lawless because you rejoice in Christ and you believe in a full and free salvation. But in 2 Corinthians, when Paul says, "Try yourselves if you are in the faith," he's not telling the Corinthians to sit down and say, "You know what? We got to examine whether we're really believers or not. We haven't really been living right, so we should examine whether we really believe just correctly." But guess what? That is not what Paul is talking about here. Paul, the Corinthians, there were people who came among Corinth. Paul calls them in 2 Corinthians ministers of Satan. Let's see, where's that verse at in 2 Corinthians here? Where they tried to imitate Paul and who were comparing themselves with themselves. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And you'll just have to read chapter 10 and 11 to find it. Verse, I don't have it marked real quickly here, but the point being is that they came in and they were questioning the Apostle Paul, and they questioned his apostleship. In his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, nevertheless I surely am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord." And so notice what Paul says. You Corinthians are proof yourselves that I am an apostle. Because before Paul came, they were heathen. They were idolaters. They were Corinthians. They were pretty wretched folks. And Paul went in there announcing the evangel of grace, and they were converted. And Paul, in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 13, is not telling them, he's not telling them to question their salvation. He said they were trying Paul. They were saying, is Paul really of Christ? And Paul is saying, are you kidding? You're asking if I'm truly an apostle? Is Christ really speaking in me? Try yourselves. Look at yourselves. Are you guys in the faith? Of course you are. This I'm paraphrasing. They were saying to Paul, Paul, are you really an apostle? Is God really speaking through him? And Paul says to the Corinthians, look at yourselves. You're proof that I am an apostle because you're believers. Paul is not telling the Corinthians to sit down and question their salvation and doubt it and live in agony like religion teaches you. No, this has nothing to do with it. Remember, this is an important thing in the letters of Paul. Paul was the questioned one. Everywhere Paul went, the adversary would bring in his men to deny Paul because Paul brought a great message. It's the message that that Satan is opposed to today, the message of grace. And he always sends his messengers to follow up the ministers who bring the evangel of pure grace, the message of Paul, and they confuse it. They first infiltrate and come in and pretend like the same. It's interesting when you look at Paul's letters. Romans, you have the doctrine presented. In Corinthians, you have false apostles come in and imitate Paul and preach the same message and talk the same way and act the same way. And in order to gain ground, they come in to win disciples after them. And after they do that, once they can win disciples, then they can turn away the people from Paul and change the message altogether. And that's what happens in Galatians. So Romans, the doctrine is presented. Galatians, you have the infiltration. Corinthians, you have the infiltration. And Galatians, you have the overturning of the truth. Same in Ephesians. Ephesians, you have the truth presented. In Philippians, you have infiltration. And in Colossians, they try to overthrow the truth. That's the work of the adversary. And Paul is telling the Corinthians, these men are coming in there, and they're questioning me. But look at your own selves. I am proof that your Corinthian church, the Corinthian ecclesia, is proof enough that I am an apostle. So 2 Corinthians 13:5 is not telling us to question whether we're saved or not. Friends, you can know what you know, and you can be happy about it, rejoice in it, and you're... nothing you can do can shake it. Nothing can separate you. Not your feelings, not even your bad habits and your sins, because Christ took care of those once for all. What a glorious truth this is. Friends, keep rejoicing in the Lord. Be rejoicing in the Lord. And again, I say, keep on rejoicing. And never question whether you're saved. Do you believe in Christ? Then you are. Live it. Enjoy it. Rejoice in it. And let religious people cringe if they want, because they hate to see you free and enjoying Christ. So keep on keeping on. Keep your eyes on Him. We're looking for Christ. And we'll talk to you again next time. I hope this was helpful for you. And again, our passage today, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Throw away tradition and stick with truth. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.